Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast. In this podcast, we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we do tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors too.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is Sam Barker from Hugh James Solicitors, and I am joined by my colleague, Alan Collins.
Thanks, Sam. Hello, podcast listeners.
Well, today we will be talking about the APPG, means the All-Party Parliamentary Group, and they are running a series of hearings into adult survivors of childhood sexual abuse and are producing a number of reports in relation to that. And the most recent report that's been released is Survivors' Experience of Court and Applying for Compensation. So I think, Alan, you're going to talk about the criminal compensation orders and what the APPG have found in relation to those.
Yeah, so the title of the report that we're looking at is Can Adult Survivors of Childhood Sexual Abuse Access Justice and Support? Which is a very good question. And as you said in your intro, the APPG has been taking evidence from survivors and those who work with survivors and represent survivors to see what their experience of court is like and applying for compensation. So it's quite a significant report, and I thought today we would talk about one particular aspect of the report, which is criminal compensation orders. And I know in a further podcast we're going to move on to another aspect that the APPG has been looking into, which is all to do with child sexual abuse in faith settings, and we'll talk about that in another podcast. But
that's right.
Let's getting back to what we want to sort of discuss today is this report and what it's saying about criminal compensation orders.
Well, nobody would really actually, not a lot of people, given these statistics about how rarely they're given out, people would not really know what they are. So, Alan, did you want to explain what criminal compensation orders are and if you have had any experience with them yourself?
Well, criminal compensation orders are criminal compensation orders. So when a defendant is convicted of a criminal offence, the judge or the magistrates are supposed to consider, in law, whether to make a criminal compensation order. So there's an act of parliament that says that is what they are meant to do. And basically it's a device, a means for the offender to provide some redress to his or her victim. And redress can be in the form of compensation. So if, for example, the offender has gone and, pick a simple example, damage someone's fence, you know, a criminal offence of criminal damage, they've gone and damaged the fence, then the owner of the fence would reasonably expect the offender to pay for the fence to be repaired. And the magistrate or the judge would ordinarily, in my experience, order the offender to pay for the damaged fence to be repaired.
Did you have many cases like that when you were in crime, where there would be one?
When I represented people in crime, in crime. So I think there's an important distinction to be made there. So, yes, so it's usual, in my experience, for the courts to order offenders to pay compensation to their victims. So I've used a very simple, straightforward example there. But what we're looking at today and what the APPG was looking at is what happens if you're the victim of a sexual offence, because the law applies equally to victims of sexual offences. And the evidence that the APPG heard was it is extremely rare for survivors of sexual abuse to be compensated by their victims through criminal compensation orders. And that fits in with my experience. It is extremely unusual for the courts to order sex offenders to pay compensation to their victims when the law clearly says that that is supposed to happen. So Andrew Griffiths MP, who is interested in this area of law and work, he's asked some various questions, and it's been revealed that only 26 criminal compensation orders were made in 2017 for 6,861 child sexual abuse offences that resulted in sentences in England and Wales. So that's just 0.4%.
So that's just ridiculously low.
It's bizarre, that. You know, bizarre's being polite about it, I think.
But look at them being polite about it, and then there's being offensive about it with this apparently one criminal compensation order issued for the offensive rape of a male child under the age of 13 by another male was just £20. And you've got to ask how on earth that came to pass or be.
Well, of course, we don't know the facts behind that case. And if I go back to my criminal law days, sometimes the magistrate or the judge would basically say to the offender, turn out your pockets and we'll take what's in your pockets to pay the fine or costs or whatever it happens to be. It may be, for we know, that the offender had nothing other than £20 to his or her name. So, you know, that may be completely wrong, of course, but, you know, one is speculating and it's not always wise to speculate. But the main point is, or the principal point is, that only 0.4% of sentences for child sexual abuse offences included a compensation order. And ICSA, of course, have been looking at all of this. And I think I would summarise the position is that there's a problem across the board, which is that those who should be having criminal compensation orders in mind are not really thinking about making them or providing the information that needs to be provided for orders to be made. Victims have to provide victim impact statements, so part of the job is being done, but there seems to be a sort of breakdown in the system. So that the police, the prosecution service, the courts don't really have the information to hand because they're not thinking about it in the right way, I would say. Others may disagree, but I don't think it's being thought through. And so the information's not being collated. It's not being provided. The courts are not pushing it. Therefore, the orders are not being made. It may well be that some magistrates and judges are thinking, well, the victim, survivor, and go to the Criminal Injuries Compensation Board.
Which would be a problem a lot of the
which
time.
Which is very problematic.
Well, they're not precluded through their court system when issuing a criminal compensation order. They're not precluded for getting them for these minor offences that might still be sitting on their record, which would preclude them under the CRCA, which is a real problem there.
So it's woolly thinking, not the right way of going about matters anyway. And of course, we identified both with the APPG and with ICSA that those who have responsibility for victims and survivors' rights don't actually know the law themselves. They don't actually appreciate that victims or survivors of sexual abuse are entitled to be compensated through the courts, whether through the criminal courts or through the civil courts. So there's this huge gaping hole in the system, which has been identified at the APPG and also identified in us, in our representations, both to ICSA and to the APPG. This report refers to the victim strategy, which is extremely deficient because, as you know, the APPG are pointing out, the Ministry of Justice / Home Office are just not thinking this through. They're just not thinking about victims' rights and victims' access to justice, particularly when it comes to compensation.
But in these kind of cases, it would be very difficult sometimes to quantify what the amount of those orders should be following a case. And I think that in those kind of circumstances, what are the judges empowered to do? Can they have the victim assessed medically to see whether they can arrive at a figure for an award, or is economic loss considered in that framework?
Well, they do, you know, it's if your fence gets knocked down by some criminal, you're asked to find out what the cost is of putting the fence back up, so you get an estimate. So, you know, there's thought given there, and victims provide victim impact statements. So there's a lot of information potentially available for a court to make an order. There is no reason why the GP can't be asked to provide information.
Certainly again, it's just treatment as well, treatment purposes. That'd be quite easy to quantify.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there are the tools there. And the methodology is there if there's a will to make it happen. And as I said, you know, as the APPG have sort of identified, there's just this sort of gaping hole. And of course, the victims and the survivors, they are in the hands of others. So they're in no place to push this. You know, they're very dependent on the system working for them. And it's up to those who manage the system to make it happen.
Yeah. And they're saying here in their recommendations that the government, the Home Office or the Ministry of Justice will need to undertake further consultation to see why judges aren't issuing these orders in child sexual abuse cases. And I think that would be really wise to do, because if we know what the root problem is as to why these orders aren't being made, then it's something that can be corrected if proper thought is put into it.
Indeed. And it all comes back to the point that I keep going on about, which is that the Home Office and the Ministry of Justice need to ensure that they actually understand themselves what the legal rights are of victims and survivors, because if the MOJ and the Home Office don't understand, no one's going to have a hope.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So, you know, it goes to the right to the heart of that entire system. You know, the MOJ and the Home Office really have got to understand what victims' rights are and push them forward. There shouldn't be these gaping holes in the system.
Yeah.
Through lack of knowledge, lack of thought, lack of understanding, whatever we want to call it.
Yeah, and so correcting this might help correct some of the major pitfalls in the CICA system, you would hope. If somebody was precluded from one, hopefully that under the criminal compensation orders, they would have a right to redress under that.
Yeah, and I would have thought, you know, the taxpayer and the general public would expect offenders to pay the compensation, because what's happening is that the taxpayer, as I see it, is subsidising offenders.
Yeah.
Because the CICA is funded through taxes. So why should the taxpayer pay the compensation when the offender is probably in a position to pay the compensation?
Yeah, and the judge has tools at his or her disposal right at that time to investigate what assets the offender has, which quickly becomes much more complicated after the criminal case wraps up.
Yeah, I think we heard somewhere or other along the lines, didn't we, one particular survivor saying the offender, when he was being sentenced, had a very expensive watch on his wrist. The judge should have confiscated it.
Just handed it straight over. That would work.
So that could have been used, sold, and obtained some compensation that way. You know, very good point made by the offender.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's victims and survivors have often said to me in the criminal courts that they often feel as though they just have a walk-on part. All the attention is on the offender as opposed to the victim and the survivor. So I think there's a bit of a psychological element in some of all of this. But it's down to the MOJ and the Home Office to address the balance.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for listening, podcast listeners, today. Alan and I will be back soon for another podcast.
Indeed. Thank you very much for listening, as always.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. If you would like to speak to Alan or I about something you have heard this week, or even if you would like to suggest a topic for a future episode, please do get in touch at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.